And let's just start with a quick connection, just so that we're all here, and we're going to be following a handout, so there's going to be loads of content. So take a nice deep breath and just take a moment to stand. If you've been sitting feet hip-width apart, just soften your knees. Take a nice deep breath and exhale. And on that exhale, just feel yourself relaxing and just really coming present to the ability that you have to come online and learn new things and explore new tools and techniques and strategies for your business. It doesn't matter where you are on this continuum of technical expertise, because we have an e-commerce marketer and expert that is going to make it painless for you to understand the behind the scenes of how e-commerce works. And so just feel yourself expanding into the possibility that you too can fully understand how to get your business into high gear. And that the tools and the techniques and the strategies and the technology are totally within your grasp. And that today you're going to walk away from this call so much more in the know and feeling so comfortable with technology and how to apply it in your own business. I am so thrilled. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm very thrilled to have Christina Hills back. She has been one of my mentors when it comes to technology. It's because of Christina that, you know, I have my little my website humming along and zinging, and I'm adding different aspects to it, a membership site more recently. But Christina is really, really tech-savvy and customer service savvy. She knows how to make it really easy for you to understand things. She's a shopping cart queen, and she's an e-commerce marketer, and her expertise lies with small business owners in understanding and using shopping carts, membership programs, and autoresponder systems. And with her training, you can more effectively sell online by fully engaging with your customers and following up with your prospects. Her skills and background are unquestionably technical, but her style is completely user-friendly and marketing-oriented. Welcome, Christina. No worries.
Okay. Well, we're here. All right. I hope everyone else can hear us. I don't know if you want to check that or not. While you're checking, I'll say where the handout is, because we're going to be following along this handout. And you want to go to consciousbusinesstribe.com/5fatalmistakes.pdf. consciousbusinesstribe.com/5fatalmistakes.pdf. And that is the handout we're going to be following along in the call today. And the handout, you can either print it out if you'd like or just follow along the screen. It has a lot of pictures. So even though it's 34 pages, don't let that scare you. There's a lot of pictures. So it's going to feel kind of like a webinar, but without all that extra technology. So in fact, you can print it out and sit on your couch and listen on your phone if that's more comfortable for you. I like to teach with pictures, and we're going to start on page 3, so you can just scroll to page 3. Adela, are we ready to go?
Yep, we're ready to go.
Okay. Well, why don't I give people on page 3 just an overview of what we're going to cover, and then we can just dive into the content. We're going to talk about the 5 fatal mistakes people make when starting an online business and sort of show you what they are so that you won't make these mistakes. The first mistake is not understanding the buying process and using the wrong buy links. And we're going to talk about 2 different kinds of buying processes for selling online. Then we're going to talk about not having an opt-in box on your website. That's one of the key things every website needs to have. We'll then move on to mistake number 3, the difference between a list, an email receipt, an autoresponder, and a broadcast. People get these terms mixed up, so hopefully I'll shed some light there. Then we'll talk about mistake number 4, which is not customizing your secure order form to match your website. and we'll look at some case studies. And then mistake number 5, which is not tracking your ads and sales through your shopping cart. So not tracking where people are coming from. Adele, you ready to just dive in?
Yeah, let's go. There's a lot to cover here, Christina.
There's a lot to cover. All right, mistake number 1, we're on page 4 of the handout. And just in case you got here late to the call, you'll see the link to the handout in the members area, or you can go directly to consciousbusinesstribe.com/5fatalmistakes.pdf. And if you're listening on the webcast, you can just see that link right above the webcast player. So let's look at, we're on page 4 of the handout, looking at figure number 1 and figure number 2. When you sell online, there are 2 types of buying processes. And this is something that you as a business owner need to understand. This is not a technical thing. This is more a feng shui kind of thing. I'm sure many people of you know feng shui, which is, you know, the art of placement and moving through a space. So you want to think of your website as like a house where you move through rooms. And that's the way I think of websites. And so when people come to your site and they want to buy from you, you want to know, well, which kind of site do I have? So figure number 1, that's the buying process for a multi-product website. That's a website like Amazon.com. A multi-product website is where the goal of the site is for people to keep seeing things they want to buy and adding them to their shopping cart basket. Just like when you go to Amazon to buy a book, they're constantly showing you other stuff so that you keep adding it to your basket. So see in figure number 1, you see this illustration here where somebody comes to your site, they see what they want to buy, they add it to the basket, they click continue shopping, they go back to your site, they keep adding stuff. At any point, they can click to the order form, pay for their products, and then get on a thank you page. So that is a multi-product website style. Figure number 2, we're still on page 4. That is the buying process for a single product website. So in that instance, somebody comes to your site, they see what they're going to buy, and then they click straight to the order form. Because with a single product website, it could be a sales letter site, or it could just be your regular site and you only have one product to sell at this point. There's no reason to take a customer to a view your shopping cart, continue shopping, if you don't actually have anything else to sell them. So what you want to do, figure number 2, is you want to take them straight to the order form. And Adela, this is a mistake I see beginners make, where they're taking people to the shopping cart page, they're clicking continue shopping, but it doesn't make any sense,
mm-hmm.
Then the person gets lost.
Yeah, and then they close the page.
Then they close the page, right. So now I just want to point out to people that you may sell more than one thing, but you may create a website where the purpose of that website is to just sell one thing. So just keep that in mind. Each website has a purpose, and if you're only selling them one thing, take them straight to the order form. So let's look at some examples. We're on page 5, and I like to see examples. Adela, I listened to a call yesterday from somebody else. They were teaching something. They didn't have any examples. And I'm just hearing all this talk, and I'm not seeing any pictures. And I don't know about you, Adela, but for me, I need to see pictures to
mm-hmm.
understand. And so that's why I make these handouts. So page number 5, we're looking at figure 3. So here is a screenshot. It's a case study from Speaker Mary Foley. And she's an author and a speaker, and she's got her books for sale on her site. So when you click to add a book, then you get to figure 4, which is the shopping cart basket page. also known in one shopping cart world as the view cart page. Now, one shopping cart, also known as marketer's choice, is a system that I teach. But you don't have to use that system if you don't want to. It's the one I use. It's one many marketers I know use. But these concepts are the same no matter what shopping cart system you use. So here, figure four, right, she's taken us to this page. We see the product, then we can click continue shopping to go back to the site and buy more items. Or we can click on, and we're looking still at figure four, that checkout button. And when we do, then we get to turn to page seven, the secure order page. And as you see, as we go through this call, we'll be moving through the pages quickly so it feels like a webinar. And figure five is a secure order page, and I'm going to talk about that more a little later on in the call. Moving on to page eight, let's talk about the buying process for a single product website. And we saw this before. Somebody comes to your site, they see what they want to buy, they go straight to the order form. So let's look at an example on page nine. Here's a case study. Here's a mini site, a sales letter site. So let me just define what a sales letter site is. A sales letter site is a site where there is no navigation. You land on a page, and the purpose is for you to read the content, and it's usually very long. You read down and buy the products. So there's generally not any links to take you anywhere else. So figure number seven is the top of the sales letter from Ed Sajak on how to change your marriage fast. And scrolling down to the bottom, and this is to, you know, help people who are in marriages that are on the rocks. Scrolling down to page 10, there's the link at the bottom of the web page. So, and I didn't include the whole thing. You get the idea. You land on the page, you read down, you become engaged, and then you click to order. When you click to order, turning to page 11, you get straight to the order form. Now, what Ed has done on page 11, he's got a very fancy order form where he's reiterating sort of the key points of his offer. But the point I want to make here on this mistake I see people make is if you only have one product, send them right to the order form. Any comments, Adela?
No, this is really very, very straightforward and different kind of example, so it's great.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to page 12 just to sort of recap what I'm talking about here. Page 12, you see figure 10. That's the shopping cart basket page. And figure 11, that is the order page. That's the final order page. And so how you keep track in your brain is the final order page is where they enter their credit card. And the shopping cart basket page is where they can continue shopping. So I'm sure everybody, Adela, has bought something from Amazon. If you just think, when you're deciding for yourself, well, what do I want to do? Just think, do I want an Amazon store type of site, or do I just want to take them to the order form? And all of these were still on page 12, right? All of these links go to something sort of long and ugly like that, okay? You never want to have a long, ugly link like that on your site. But behind the scenes, that's where it's going. It's actually going to another website. And I'm going to cover that more when we get to customizing your order form. Any comments?
No, this is pretty straightforward, this piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a picture is a thousand words.
Yeah.
You see it, and, you know, what I like about, why I like doing handouts is, people can print them out and make notes. And so it makes it easier to understand. And this is the kind of thing I do in my trainings. I have lots of visuals to make it very easy for non-techies to understand.
Yeah, but I will say this, though. I don't have, to me it looks pretty straightforward, but if you do have a question around anything that we're covering, just make sure that you submit it on the webcast so that I can ask Christina. And because if you've got the question, someone else may have it. So if anything
right.
pops up for you, just submit a question. Thanks. And I'm just going to repeat that the handout location again, because sometimes folks join us a little after the start of the call. consciousbusinesstribe.com/5fatalmistakes.pdf. Great.
Okay. And again, if you're on the webcast, that link is right there. Let's move on to page 13. This is mistake number 2, which is not having an opt-in box on your website. So let's look at figure 12, and I'll just explain the process of somebody opting in. I find newbies, when getting started, they don't quite clear how have it in their head how the email marketing process works. So let's look at figure number 12. We're on page 13. Somebody comes to your website and they see an opt-in sign-up box. So perhaps it's a newsletter, or it's a PDF, or it's a free teleseminar, or it's a report, you know, a white paper. Whatever offer you have for your audience, someone would enter their name and email, and they would click a submit button. We're still looking at figure 12. Once they click submit, they will land in on your opt-in thank you page. So what's a thank you page? A thank you page is any place you land after you've done something, after the customer, the visitor has done something. So in this instance, the prospect is somebody who has not bought from you. Customer is somebody who has or is in the about to be buying from you. They're in the buying process. So prospect comes to your site, they see the offer, they click, and they land on the opt-in thank you page. Thank you for opting in, your teleseminar details are coming, your free report is coming. It's sort of a thank you, letting them know, acknowledging that they've actually just taken that action. All right, so what happens behind the scenes? We're still on figure number 12. Their info goes into your shopping cart account database or your email marketing database, whatever you're using. One shopping cart, AWeber, Constant Contact, MailChimp. There's a lot of different versions out there. And it goes in there, and then the autoresponder goes out to the prospect. So that is the email message that you've set up ahead of time that you send out to them. And now your prospect is in relationship with you, and they are getting emails from you. And you'll see right under figure 12 that I've sort of reiterated what I've just told you. But what I like to do with my trainings is have these handouts and go through them in the audio, but then have you be able to view the handout afterwards and, you know, read the highlights so you understand what I'm doing. Adela, as you've experienced, my goal is training people as fast as possible, and you are one of my highlight case studies from my website creation workshop. In fact, you only went through 2 out of the 8 modules, and you were...
I know. I should be embarrassed by that, but, you know, I'm one of those leapers, you know.
I'm proud. If, you know, if I have a student who can sign up for an 8-module course and after module 2 be successful, that's fabulous. So,
yeah, thank you.
Let's look at a case study. We're on page 14. This is Mary Foley again. She has her opt-in box above the fold. Above the fold, that's an newspaper term, which is the fold in the newspaper. You want the important stuff above the fold. That's generally what you want to do with your opt-in box, and that is figure 13. So once you opt in on Mary's site, you get to turn to page 15. You get to a thank you page, and what she has done is the thank you page gives you the download immediately. So some people decide the thank you page is going to give the goodie. Well, I like to use that term. What goodie are you giving your audience for opting in? They're giving you their email. You're giving them a goodie. And so some people put the goodie on the thank you page, and some people on their thank you page say, check your email, and then the goodie comes in their email. Let's move on to...
Christina, can I just
yeah.
make two comments, two things? In that previous image of the graphic of the opt-in box, I really wanted you to... this is one of the mistakes that I see so much. Because I got lots of folks that want to actually partner with me in joint venture. And so then I go to their websites and I check them out. And instead of having like this graphical opt-in box, some people will actually have text that they've highlighted as their opt-in.
Text that they've highlighted?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no
there's
place
no,
to enter your name and email?
No, they've got like a little thing, join, get my newsletter, and then that links to an opt-in box on another page. It's kind
page.
Of, kind of, that's kind of strange to me.
Yeah, what that does is that puts up friction. Right?
Yeah.
That's somebody coming to your house, and instead of, you know, handing them, you know, the drink as they walk in, you have to make them walk into this whole other room. You know, it's don't make people have to click if it's not necessary.
Yeah.
You know, and that was part of mistake number one. Don't make people have to click to this extra page if it's not necessary. So if you're making somebody click to get to another page to opt in, there should be a good reason for it. So you really want your opt-in box visible so that folks can easily opt in at any point.
Yeah, and also in terms of the download, something that, and I see you do this a lot too, even though you may have the download available on that download page, you also send it in the autoresponder message.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you right. do both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to page 16. Here is a screenshot from my website creation workshop. This is my blog on my public site, and there's figure 15. You can have the opt-in box on the sidebar of a blog. And so what's one of the things that I teach, which is WordPress. And this is from a post I did where I dressed up as Julia Child, and it's this very funny YouTube skit. And when you opt in, then you get to figure 16 that takes to my thank you page, letting people know that they're on the list and that they're going to get follow-ups in their email. And so they'll need to go check their email. Now, one of the things I love about WordPress is it does make it very easy to change the headline. So you can update your headline. You can add other things as well. So those are just a few examples of opt-in boxes, and let's move on to mistake number three, which is at the bottom of page 17, the difference between an email list, a list, an email receipt, an autoresponder, and a broadcast. And, okay, so what is the difference? So let's go through these. A list is a concept, right? How big is your list? Who's on your list? Mail to your list. You see these terms. It's a group of subscribers. They can be prospects, people who are interested but not maybe not have bought from you. They can be customers. They can be your affiliates. They're a group. And in some email systems, email marketing systems, you won't see the word list. You know, in the one shopping cart system, they group it as, you know, your autoresponder. So just remember, the list is a concept. An email receipt is a one-time special text email that somebody gets when they buy from you. Okay, so it is technically an autoresponder, but it's not part of your autoresponder series. And that's a mistake I see people make. they set up their shopping cart, and then they go into their autoresponder and they put, you know, this sort of thank you for your purchase email type of message. The customer's going to get that anyway, so you don't really need to add that to your autoresponder system. At least this is how it works in the one shopping cart. Right, so let's talk about autoresponders and broadcasting. We're on page 18. An autoresponder is a mechanism that sends out an email message automatically. It can be one message or a series of messages. You specify the day the email message goes out based on the day the user signed up. Okay, so with an autoresponder, it's not tied to a calendar date. It's tied to a series. So, for example, day zero is today, and day one is tomorrow, and day seven is a week from now. So the reason why day zero is today is so that the math works out, and you can have day seven in 1 week, day 14 in 2 weeks, day 21 in 3 weeks, etc. So when Mary joins your list, right, she's in her series. Now days go, and we're marching along, and now Joe comes. Right? So when Joe comes now, he's at day zero, but Mary's at day five. Right? Now the two of them march along in their own series, and somebody else gets on your autoresponder list. So everybody's marching along in their own sequence, getting the follow-up messages on the days you specified. Right? That's different from broadcasting. Because broadcasting is an action you take to send out one email message to your list, and it goes on a specific calendar date. So, for example, today, Adela, you sent out a broadcast.
Yes.
Reminding people about today's call, and this was tied to today's date. It's a calendar date. So I like to visualize broadcasting as me going into the middle of New York City in Times Square and standing on my box with a megaphone and holding it up and shouting out my message and everybody stopping and turning and looking at me, right? They're all getting it at the same time. That is a broadcast. Any comments, Adela?
No, no, that's very clear. Yeah.
And so, you know, what you often do is you set up an opt-in box, you attach an autoresponder sequence to it, and people are in their own sequence getting the messages automatically, right, drawing people back to your site. But you may have events come up, and then you want to broadcast them, hey, this is happening today. So that's the difference between autoresponders and broadcasting. And let's just look here on page number 19. You know, here's what happens after somebody buys your product, right? This is just explaining the difference between the email receipt, right, and the autoresponder. So they've come to your site, they've bought your product, right? They've gone through the gateway, which is the payment processor. They've landed on the thank you page, right? So these are the things that happen after someone buys. You, the business owner, get a new order notice. The customer gets that little email receipt. That's that one-time email receipt. And then they get on an autoresponder sequence for the customer if you've set that up. So that's just to show you sort of how that process works. And then I do want to look at page 20, right, because this is very important. This is a huge mistake I see people make, which is they don't do personalization. We're looking at figure 18, right? So you want to add personalization to your emails, right? Whether it's an autoresponder or broadcast, you want to add personalization. And that's something that happens automatically. Shopping cart system, whichever system you use, has these things called merge codes, and all that is a way to add personalization. The other thing you need to have on figure 18 is you want to have a link back to your site. You want to make sure you're linking people back to your site. Because if you don't have a link back to your site, the only links they're going to see in that email is your unsubscribe links. Right? People like links. They like to click. That's what we do on the internet. We click. And if your only link in your email is an unsubscribe link, then you're going to get people unsubscribing. A couple more comments and then I'll make and then get some comments from you, Adela. Your signature, you have to have that. Most email marketing systems will automatically add that, and that is your physical address. In order to be spam compliant, you have to have a physical address in every email you send out, and you also have to have unsubscribe links. But no, we're still looking at figure 18. Those are automatically added for you. You don't have to write that in. The shopping cart system or AWeber, Constant Contact, whoever you use, they're going to automatically add that in. So, again, key thing, make sure you have a call to action link in your email message. Comments?
Well, common kind of sort of question. We actually have questions from folks, but I did want you to cover the content first before we dive into some of the questions. I know this may even be a little bit more of an advanced strategy, but since you're mentioning autoresponder, the distinction between autoresponder versus broadcast, can you just mention a couple of things that people might set up autoresponders for when they're creating a product?
You mean a product like they're an autoresponder for the product after somebody's purchased?
Yeah.
Or an autoresponder to get them interested in the product?
Well, I think, either or, but since we were talking about a product and a customer and an order, I was just thinking that you might share with people so they can see the context of the power of an autoresponder. Some of the topical things or some of the ideas that people might include as things in autoresponders after someone has purchased a product.
Okay, so let's say you're selling an ebook, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You could have an autoresponder that says, hey, did you look at chapter 4 on page 35 where I give you the tip, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So if you've written an ebook, go after you're done with your ebook, go back through it and pull out some key highlights to remind people of what they just bought and where they can find information, getting them to consume your product. So let's say you're selling a teleseminar, right? So an example, this would be a broadcast example, sort of here's the replay for the teleseminar.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think, because it's going to be different for each person, and you're talking about a post-sales. Post-sales means they've bought the product, now I'm sending them an autoresponder for that product. Basically, you want to teach people educate them on how to consume and use your product, because if they consume and use it, they'll buy more.
Yeah.
I mean, I've bought gadgets, and I couldn't figure out how to use them, so they sat on the shelf. So if the maker of that gadget taught me how to use it, and I became a raving fan, right, that's what you want to build, are raving fans, so that they come back and they buy more from you.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that's a really important concept to really get down, especially in clarifying between the broadcast and autoresponder. And that's a key thing that you want folks to do. You want them to use your product. So.
And here's another way to look at it. You need to get somebody into an autoresponder so that you can broadcast to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can broadcast, hey, I'm doing a teleseminar today, come show up, or hey, I'm going to be at the Los Angeles Hilton at an event, let's meet up. Right. In order to email broadcast to them, they have to be on some kind of autoresponder list.
Right.
So how do your people get on autoresponder list? Well, they either opt in for your free offer or they've purchased. So either way, you get them on your autoresponder, Now they're on your list. Now you can broadcast to them. So broadcasting is a verb. I like to think of it as a verb. It's an action.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Okay, let's move on to page 22. And this is mistake number 4, I see, which is not customizing your secure order form to match your website. And we're going to look at some case studies, and then I'm going to walk you through how the payment processor works, you know, how you get your money. But let's look first at some examples of customizing your order form to match your website. When the way it works is you build your website and it's on your own hosting. And when people buy from you, they're clicking, they're actually going to another website. But what you want to do is customize that order page, right? We looked at them before with the shopping cart page and the order form, how it's customized to match. You want to use a shopping cart system that lets you do that so that people still feel like they're with you, right, on your site. So let's look at figure number 19. Here's the home page of prleads.com. And here was his order form before. We're looking at figure 20 on page 23. We're looking at figure 20. There was his order form before. So people were going from this nice, friendly, colorful order form to this black and white thing. And not good. What happens is you lose the trust factor when people go to this your order form and it doesn't look like your site and they don't know where they are, and you're going to get shopping cart abandonment, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want shopping cart abandonment. So look at page now 24, figure 21. Here's his order form afterwards. And the image is a little bit blurry, but you get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
You're now going from his site to his order form, right? Remember, he's doing that one click.
Right.
He's taking you straight there. And this is an expensive product, so he wants to take you straight there. And what do we see on the order form? Well, the colors match. We see his logo, right? We feel like we're in the same place. Even though technically behind the scenes we're actually on the secure order form shopping cart pages,
mm-hmm.
right? But the customer, you want to think about, go back to that feng shui, right? You want to have this flow where you come to your site, you click, you flow, you get to the order page. Yes, I'm here and I'm familiar and I'm the customer and I know where I am. And on this figure 21, we see a testimonial. We see some other notes about, you know, what you're going to get, reinforcing what they're buying. And Dan Janelle, who's the owner of PR Leads, he said his conversion rate went from 19% to 33%. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's actually a very huge increase in sales,
mm-hmm.
went from 19% to 33%. So he had fewer people abandoning. You know, before he had shopping cart abandonment because people would click. I'm sure everybody, Adele, on this call has been on the Internet. They've clicked, and they've said to themselves, oh, my God, where am I? Where did it go? And then they click back like they're confused. You know, don't confuse your people. Don't make them say, where am I? What did I do? Did I do the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, customize your order form to match your website. Let's look at another case study, page 26. This is from Jackie Davis, Roomscape Interiors. And here is her home page on figure 22. She helps you do interior decorating. And here was page 27. Here was her order form before. So you clicked to buy, and you got to this order form before, which looked very plain. Now, let me just make a comment, Adela, to the newbies out there. it is better to be selling something than selling nothing, right?
Yeah.
So if you're getting started, right, and you're getting started, you want to get your site up, you've got this product, you are better off having it linked to this than not putting it live. It's always more important to take action. But, right, so she had it up. She was making sales. But then she came back and look now, go from page 27 to page 28. Now she added her header. So now when people click, they know, okay, I'm still with Jackie Davis, right? I'm still at RoomScape Interiors, and she, you know, the customer has more that feeling of confidence. Now again, right, you want to, I always say to people, you want to do these in stages. So Jackie went from figure 23, no order form, no customization, to figure 24, right, where she's got the header graphic. Then Janelle took it one step further and put that copy at the top of the testimonial, right? So you want to create, so that you don't get overwhelmed, do these things in stages. You know, stage number one, I've got my product for sale, and it's on the internet, and I'm telling people about it. Stage number two, okay, I'm going to come back and I'm going to add a header graphic, right? So and maybe customize the color. She added purple here to match her site, right? Then stage number three, come back and then actually, you know, put in some top copy, reiterate what they're buying, et cetera. And this is one of the reasons why I'm so big on teaching people to use WordPress to build their site, because WordPress is so forgiving. It's so easy to get started. You can come back and add more stuff later. You can add the bling later.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you add bling, right, the more you do these little tiny tweaks, the more sales you're going to make. Any comments before I start talking about how you get paid?
Nope. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, you know, the pictures, they speak for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do. And it makes a huge difference because it's familiar. It's something that you know. And it really increases the trust factor. It makes a huge difference.
Right. And the internet is very ephemeral, right? When we're talking
mm-hmm.
about the internet, you're sort of in this ephemeral space. And having these pictures sort of helps me get grounded.
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing? What am I learning? You know, what am I focusing on? Let's look at figure 25. This is just to explain sort of how you get paid so that you understand the terminology. And you'll see on page 29 is the image, and then on page 30 is the definition. So let me just go through this quickly. We've been talking about this a lot. Figure 25, somebody comes to your website to buy your product. So they're either going straight to the order form, or if you're doing multi-product, they're going through the shopping cart basket. But at some point, they land on your order form. So figure 25 in blue, right, that is your website. The green is your shopping cart secure order form, right, where they're entering in their credit card info. When they click the submit order, their order goes through what is referred to as the gateway, right? So the gateway is the middleman. That is the middleman that checks to make sure the credit card is valid and has money. So I like to think of the gateway as when you go into the supermarket and you swipe your card through that card reader, right? And the little card reader goes dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, right? It's authorizing. And then you land on a thank you page. Now look at figure 25. See that dotted line, right?
Hmm.
If there's no money in that credit card account or the card's no good, it bounces you back to the order form, right? Something's wrong. You didn't enter your card number right, whatever. It bounces you back. But if it goes through, right, see the arrows are going through. We're still on figure 25 to the thank you page, right? This is a thank you page for somebody buying. Right, so it's going to still be a web page, and that's acknowledging that they've just bought. The nice thing about the One Shopping Cart system, also known as Marketer's Choice, they give you a default thank you page if you don't have one on your site, which is great. The email receipt goes to the customer, an autoresponder if you have one, and then the money, right, that the customer's paying you are the business owner, goes into your merchant account, which is a special kind of bank account, and then that settles and you get it, you know, into your actual bank account in a couple of days. So page 30 is the definitions that I've just gone through on these different things that happen in this buying process. The new order notice, that is a notice that you get. It's like the email receipt to the customer, but it comes to you as the business owner, just letting you know that a sale is made. And it's really nice to open up your email in the morning and get these new order notices and see that you've made money overnight. One more thing I want to make on this topic, one more point. Let's turn to page 31. You want to figure 26. Figure 27 is a mistaken image, so we'll need to get that updated. But figure 26, you want to make sure that you use a shopping cart system that has HTTPS at the top. That's how you know it's secure. That's how your customers know it's secure. And then figure 27, there's a McAfee secure symbol. I will get that update to you, Adela.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody wants to learn more about merchant accounts and gateways, you can go to shoppingcartqueen.com/cards. So, Adela, any comments on the payment processing and how you make money as a business owner?
Not on this one. We've got some questions from earlier, which we'll come back around to. I don't have any. This is pretty, and this is what I'll say, that even though conceptually we're going through this, as you sit down and you start implementing this on your own, that's when this handout is going to be really, really priceless, because you'll get to see the behind the scenes and how to navigate it. And I know that you also have an offer for folks where you can make it even easier for them that you'll tell us about at the end of the call.
Yes.
But this is great. This really demystifies the behind the scenes, the inner workings. Thank you.
All right, so let's go on to page 32, mistake number 5. And, you know, this is not really a newbie mistake. That's why I have it at the end. It's kind of more of an intermediate mistake. So, but the newbies should be thinking about where they're heading, right? So mistake number 5 is not tracking your ads and sales through your shopping cart. So what are you doing, right? You're building an online business, right? What do you need? You need a shopping cart, and I'm going to recap this in a minute. So you need your website, you need an opt-in box, you need a shopping cart system, right? So you've got it all set up, right? First thing you want to do is you get it all set up. And the second thing you want to do is you start getting ads. You want to track your ads, like where are people coming from? Okay, so that could be an easing ad, a Google ad, that could even be Twitter. You know, track that people are coming from Twitter and buying from you, or track that people are coming from Facebook and buying from you. You know, you want to track these things. So let's talk about how ad tracking works, and I'm going to give you a little mini lesson in Google AdWords. But let's look at figure number 28. So you've got your site set up, and now you're getting ads. So maybe you're buying a placement in an easing ad, or maybe you're buying a placement on Google AdWords. What you want to do is you want to give a special link. It's called an ad tracker link, so that when somebody clicks, it passes, we're still looking at figure 28, through the ad tracker to get to your website. And then from the website, you know, they're going through the order process and getting to the thank you page. So let's talk about this ad tracking concept. I want you to understand the concept now so that when you're ready to implement it, you can implement it. but I'm big on teaching people, teaching non-techie people the concepts so that they can be successful. Let's look at page 33. So here's an example of a Google ad on figure 29. We're on page 33, figure 29. Google search results, right? On the right-hand side, those are the paid listings. Those are Google AdWords. On the left, in the center, that's the search engine, right? The nice thing about Google AdWords is if you are new to the Internet, new to your online business, you can immediately be listed in Google using Google AdWords. Figure 30, here's an example of inside Google AdWords, right? When you're creating your ad, and this concept applies even if you're doing any other kind of advertising, same concept, right? Figure 30, let's look at that. There's the Google ad. So what is the headline? It says creating ebooks. There's the description, line one and line two. There's the display URL, right? Display URL means what do people see? So figure 30, see where I've circled the Google ad? People will see my-company-store.com, right? This is a generic example. That's the display URL. But what is the destination URL? See, that's what I've circled. That is the tracking link. That's the destination URL. So that's where they're going when they click. So when they click on this Google ad, they are going to my company store, right? They're going to get there, but they're passing through this tracking link. So scroll back to figure 28. See, they pass through that tracking link to get to your website. So that's how you can track your ads. So you can see, all right, I'm doing running Google AdWords and I'm doing this eZine ad. And I'm tracking it, so now I know, hey, I'm getting a lot more clicks from this Google AdWords, so I'm going to drop the eZine advertising and do more Google AdWords. Or let's take it back to Twitter or Facebook. Hey, I'm getting more clicks from Facebook than Twitter. My market, maybe they're hanging out on Facebook and Twitter's not for me, or vice versa. It just shows you where people are coming from who are buying your stuff, who are interested in your market. All right, we're at the very last page. Let's just recap the steps to sell your products or services online. You want to get a website or a blog. I recommend WordPress. But you want to have a physical presence on the Internet. You want to have a secure shopping cart account, right, so that it will process your orders. You want to get, number three, a merchant account or gateway, right? That actually handles the money, right? The shopping cart just passes the money through. The merchant account or gateway handles the money. You want to create your products and put them in your shopping cart, right? Get them linked up. So get them in your shopping cart. So the products go into the shopping cart. Then number five, we're still on page 34. You want to link your merchant account to your shopping cart system. And you want to link your website to your shopping cart system, right? So you get these things and you get them all connected to each other. And then you want to drive traffic to your site, right? Get people to come to your site and then watch the sales come in. So what I do is people know me as the shopping cart queen, and I have a club called the Shopping Cart Club. And you can find that at shoppingcartclub.com. And I do a monthly call, monthly webinar, where I answer people's questions about the One Shopping Cart system. And I have a very special offer that I have not done yet, and that is when you go to shoppingcartclub.com and you join my club. And the price is currently $37 a month. It's going to be going up to $47 a month. But right now, it is $37 a month. You are in my club, and special offer is you are going to get my Shopping Cart Secrets training program as a bonus. And that is a $397 value.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great bonus.
I just decided, I was like, you know, I'm going to make some outrageous offer to Adela's people. I haven't done this before. And when you go through and you get to the order form, just write in the little notes box, you know, from Adela, you know, I want that special Shopping Cart Secrets bonus.
That's great. I didn't even know about that. That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's my very in-depth program on using the One Shopping Cart system.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And our webinar, we're having a webinar next week, so now would be a good time.
Yeah, it'd be a great time. I know I know quite a lot about shopping carts already, and I just joined your club because I've got questions.
Yeah, I have people who've been in my club for years.
Yeah.
Because they just like to come back, ask a question. I've got lots of free training in there.
Yeah.
More than what's on the sales letter.
Yeah.
So I love creating courses, as you can see, and I love training.
Yeah. That's definitely your mastery, definitely.
Yeah. Well, I love watching people like you come back and say, look at what I did, Christina. So.
Yeah, and wait till I come to the next call because I've got loads of questions around shopping carts. Because, you know, that's the thing with shopping carts, because I know some people use PayPal for their merchant. But the cool thing about a shopping cart like One Shopping Cart is that it bundles a lot of the features that you do need for your business. And you really didn't talk about that too much.
Right. Well, what One Shopping Cart, also known as Marketer's Choice, that's the brand name that I use, it's the same thing. Other people know it as Kickstart Cart. There's lots of different names. The One Shopping Cart system has your autoresponders, has your shopping cart, has digital downloads for your e-books or digital products. It has the affiliate program all worked in there. And so, you know, this is the system. It's an all-in-one package. Now, some people hook it up to, you know, other systems as well, other email marketing systems. You know, you don't have to. And let me just mention that URL again. It's shoppingcartclub.com. ShoppingCartClub.com, and you know, to make sure you get this special bonus for Adela's people on your order form, put that you want the special Adela people bonus, which is the Shopping Cart Secrets training.
Yeah, and I will put that on the speaker page, and it will also go up in the follow-up email so people have it, and it's clickable, and it's easy, and it's all there, handy-dandy. Christina, do you have time for a few questions?
Sure.
Okay, great. Our first question came in a lot earlier, and it's about e-commerce in general. This is from Roger in Illinois. I have a new fitness website set up, some search engine traffic, but no one's buying. It's not a technical issue. I've tested it. Is it a trust issue? I don't know. Do I need to become an expert to get sales? How can I serve the fitness customer and get the ball rolling? Sounds like he's set up shop, and now it's a matter of driving traffic. That's what it sounds like to me.
That's a great question. I'm really glad that we got that question asked. So Roger's got he's all set up, but nobody's buying. So there's a couple of reasons why people might not be buying. One is you're putting the offer in front of the wrong people. So if you have some fancy scissors for left-handed people and you're showing it to right-handed people, they're not going to buy, right? Because you're putting it in front of the wrong audience. So that could be one reason. Another reason why people might not buy is they don't understand what it is. So if you haven't explained well enough what it is that you're selling, if they don't get it, they're not going to buy. So they might be the right people. Oh, you mean with scissors I can cut paper? Like if they don't understand what a scissor is, they're not going to buy from you. Another reason why they might not buy is it's not the right timing. You know, so you need to think about, you know, maybe there's a time of year that somebody is buying your product or a time in their life, you know. A 20-year-old's not going to buy life insurance, so your timing is off. So the formula is you've got to get the right product, right? Is your product attractive, right? So you have to get the right product in front of the right people at the right time. So think through all those things. Is this the right product? Is it something that they want? Am I putting it in front of the right people, right? Or is it is it the right time for them to buy this thing? So those could be some of the big picture reasons why somebody is not buying. Or maybe you just need to get in front of more traffic. More eyeballs need to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought of two other things. I know I used to be guilty of this one, is that I didn't actually ask for the sale. Sometimes just putting up a button doesn't mean they're going to click on it. You have to ask for the sale.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes you think it's obvious, but you say, you know, okay, you can buy now. Like right now, if you're ready to join me next week, learn more about shopping carts and getting your product set up, go to shoppingcartclub.com. You can also find it at shoppingcartqueen.com and click on the button at the top that says club. But you go to shoppingcartclub.com, and that's how you will get hooked up with me and get that extra bonus.
Yeah, you actually have to tell people. The other thing, too, Roger, that just flew out at me is that a lot of times before people buy from you, many people, especially a service-oriented business, and you didn't put a website, so I really can't look and give you some feedback, but a service-based business, especially coaching, consulting, anything like that, people will usually buy once they've had an experience of you. So creating something, whether it's a teleclass, a Q&A call, something where they can get an experience of you and experience firsthand your expertise. That's the other thing that flew out at me. So, great. We've got another question from Miguel. Is it possible to test the buying process after you've set it up without using a credit card?
It is possible. I think what you're better off doing is actually testing it with your own credit card to make sure everything is hooked up, and then either refund or void that sale out, or temporarily change your product to a $1 product, and go ahead and buy it. This is, you know, one of my tips I give in my autoresponder series, which is buy your own product. Buy your own product and experience what your customers are experiencing. So use your credit card, and so you can temporarily just change it to a dollar, buy your product, and then go change it back again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I recommend, testing it in the environment that people are buying it in. And then you'll see the holes. Then you'll see, oh, gee, I didn't explain about the shipping, so people are confused about the shipping. All right, let me add that. Let me fix that.
Yeah. Great tip. Another question here from Ellen, who says that with sales letter pages, she experiences irritation having to wade through enormous amounts of words, testimonials, hyperbole, et cetera, with no links. Not very appealing, so I would avoid this sort of thing. Is there no alternative?
You don't have to create a sales letter page. Now, nobody's telling you you have to do that. That's a common technique on the Internet that works for a lot of people, but if it doesn't work for you and it doesn't work for your market, just put on your site the description of what it is and put a buy button. Or you might test it. You might have two different pages and you send some people to one and some people to another. The way sales letters work is it's sort of an in-depth conversation about the product or program. And I go to sales letter site. I don't always read the whole thing. I read the headlines. I read the subheadlines. I scroll to the bottom, and then I buy. But sometimes when I'm buying something, I read every single word because I want to really understand what it is that I'm buying.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's nobody pointing a gun to your head saying you have to do that technique. You know, you find what works for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have to experiment and test.
Right.
You have to test to see.
You have to test things out to see how it'll work. You know, for some markets, people respond differently than other markets.
Yeah.
So you won't know. Here's the key. You won't know until you start doing something. You won't know. You can't think in your head and just be staying in your head. You have to get out there. you put it out there, you put your site out there, you get customers, they're going to tell you things you hadn't thought of. And you're like, wow, I hadn't thought of that. Okay, I'll change that. And then new things come. Oh, wow, why don't I do this? And the important thing for having an online business is to take action and get started. You are going to get faster sooner. You're going to get it where you want to be faster sooner if you take action.
Yeah, absolutely. Our next question is both Bill and Morgene had it, and we may have already answered it, around the preference for either the direct link to the goodie on the thank you page or sending it in a separate email.
Wait, say the question. What is the question?
Do you see a preference for either the direct link to the goodie on the thank you page versus sending the link in a separate email?
I would do both. You might, you know, it's just sort of personal preference. If you send it only in the email, then they have to go check their email. If you send it right there on the thank you page, they don't have to check their email. So, you know, it's how you want, how do you want to do that? Do you want to make them check their email or not? By making them check their email, you enforce that they actually give you a good email address, right, instead of putting in a bogus email address. So that's really a personal preference of which way you want to do it. And there may be different situations. You know, sometimes if it's a free teleseminar and the call's happening, like, right away, maybe you put it on the thank you page so they don't have to stop and look.
Yeah, and for me, it's also a contingency thing. Sometimes, I don't know, on my computer, I don't know what key I hit, and then that window goes south.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, and thank goodness they send it through an email also because then it's there.
Right, right, because then they can always get it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it also speaks to the immediacy. We're so used to having everything, like, right away. So when you get that thank you page and the link is right there, you're just like in the, oh, click. Oh, I got it right now, you know. So, yeah, either or both. I mean, I would use both also. That's what I do. So great.
Okay.
Think
how
we've
about
got
two more. How about two more questions?
Yeah, actually, we've got one more.
Okay.
This is from Jamie. What is the cost for Ad Tracker with Google AdWords?
Okay, Google AdWords is placing the ad. Your Ad Tracker. With the one shopping cart system, the ad tracker comes in your account. And you can create as many ad trackers as you want, and you can use them in any environment. So Google AdWords, you're going to have to check with them. That's you pay when somebody clicks. And so, you know, it's maybe 5 cents a click, 10 cents a click, a quarter a click. You'll have to check them for their pricing. But with the one shopping cart marketer's choice system, the ad trackers just come. You just get that as part of your account.
Okay, great. Actually, there's one more question here, and we'll do it real quick. This is also from Bill. If people like to click, why would you suggest not having a click-through on your thank you page to another landing page where the goodie link can be found? I think we actually did say that yes, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, when they land on your thank you page, absolutely you want to have more links and clicks and take them other places. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just didn't get into that depth here in this call. That's the kind of depth that I get into, you know, in my club.
Yeah, and as many questions that you have right now, the minute that you start diving into this, you're going to have like 15 more questions.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, that's just how it goes. And that's when someone who's expert at this content is really is just a lifesaver. So, thank you, Christina, for being here again and sharing your expertise and your down-to-earth ability to get these complex concepts across in really plain and simple language. It's always wonderful to have you here. And thank you for staying extra. I know you stayed on like 11 minutes extra.
Right. Yeah, and I'm just going to mention one more time, if you want to join me next week in my club call, and I'm going to go over creating products. Actually, that's one of the topics I'm going to cover next week is creating products. You go to shoppingcartclub.com, and when you get to the order page, make sure in the box when you're entering your credit card, there's a comment box. put that you want the special for Adela, and we will get you that extra bonus of my Shopping Cart Secrets course.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to mention about your trainings is that they're not only technical trainings, they're actually a lot of internet marketing training that goes on on your calls.
There's a lot of marketing. I like to teach marketing as I'm teaching technology.
Yeah,
I like to do both.
I love that combo because I'm actually implementing the practicalities of it, but I'm learning how to do it correctly first time out of the gate. So thank you, Christina, so much for being with us here at the Conscious Business Telesummit. I know that you're coming back in the fall to talk about the website creation program again. And thank you, everyone, for being with us today. We'll see you later on at 4 o'clock on our other call. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.